Jimmy's schedule has kind of been up in the air, deciding whether he's going to be in Dallas or he's going to be here. He said he was going to be in Dallas today, and if I wanted to preach, and I said, well, you know, if you're going to be gone, I will. But he decided he was going to be here. He said, well, if you want to continue. And I said, well, I feel like the Lord has something, and that he gave me, so I want to go ahead and bring that. I think it's imperative, and it's interesting the timing of this, because the issue, it's on prayer, and what God has intended and what God wants in prayer is you have to know that pastors all over the country, all over the world, struggle with knowing the will of God for a people. You know that God wants to do something, and so the thing is how and what. What is in, and so just to let you know, my education or my what God has done with me, you know, I felt a calling on my life, and I went to Ozark Bible College, and so thought to have, you know, gotten the word and gotten what I needed. And my mom, when I graduated, she was so proud. She was like a mom should be, and she said, "Now, Arthur, you don't ever have to study again." And I laughed and I said, "Mom, it just started." And she said, but anyway, so then a few years passed. I got filled with the Spirit, and then so that turned my world upside down. And so now I'm learning new things. I'm trying to figure out, God, what do you want? And so God, I say that to say this. I've been to lots of churches. I've been to lots of conferences. And I've been to lots of churches to figure out what their formula is to grow a church. And I figured out that, or thought I figured out, that I've got notebooks after notebook after notebook of what their formula is for growing their church. And it is just what they figured out is good in Chicago or Seattle or Atlanta. That's what they figured out. And it's no different than what they figured out a CEO did for Ivory Soap. How do we get people to buy Ivory Soap? And they marketed Jesus. And I come back and I go, somehow that is missing the mark. Because it's not what Jesus wants. It's not a marketing strategy. It's the one in Chicago, man, Bill Hobbles, he had a bus ministry. Man, they went and they had buses everywhere. In Tulsa, they had youth camps, man, and they got youth everywhere. But I think God has a way. A way. And that way is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So what we have to do is find Jesus. And we have to be attentive to His voice. And you go, well, we get trapped into, but you're not doing anything. It may look that way, but understand. And I fall into this trap and I blame it on my mother. She was an A personality and she always had to be doing something. And she didn't know how to read. And so therefore, if you were sitting down and reading, you were doing nothing. That was just her philosophy. Get up and do something. What do you want me to do, Mom? Well, if you don't got something to do, I can get you something to do. The issue is we have such short attention spans. And so therefore, how do we channel what God wants us to do in prayer? Because everybody prays. Atheists pray. Every denomination prays. Muslims pray. Everybody prays. Everybody somehow believes that there is a higher being and they pray. So it's in us too to do that. And so therefore, how do we channel that? How do we get to what God wants us to do? Well, first, and here is a huge thing that we have to realize. We have to get to know the voice of God. Because if all we do is a one-way conversation, we miss the direction of God. All we do is sit there and we tell Him what we need or what we want, or and He is trying to say,
I'm trying to get over here and say,
I understand. I know everything that you're saying. I know everything that you want. But understand this over here. If we can get this problem fixed over here, if we can get this sin taken care of over here, if we can just fix this broken arm over here, if we can fix this broken leg over here,
maybe we can do something with you. And you're going, I've learned how to live with this.
It's okay, God. I kind of like it. It gives me character. He's going, but I don't want you that way. I didn't make you that way. I didn't show you how to live that way. Don't you know? And we go ahead and live life the way we like to live. And getting before God shows us how we should live. And here, as a people, as a congregation, is showing us the mandate. It's not the if we want to type thing. It's the mandate of God for us. Jimmy, do you know if these things come off the wall?
Yeah,
they should. Yeah. Yeah. Look at there. Ooh. Yeah, there you go. One of the things about prayer is, and one of the things that God wants us to do is to show you. It's exposure. It's here. It's going, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to see who you are. If you've ever come and counseled with me, I allow you to talk. And if you want to, I'll let you talk forever until I get tired. And then I say, okay, are you done? That's an indication that you should be done. I'm just trying to do it nicely. But the more you talk, the more you expose yourself. And as you expose yourself, I'm making mental notes. This is what you need to do. Now, they think it's a court of law. They think that, yeah, but this is the reason that I do what I do. And people do that in prayer. Now, the thing about me is, well, you're human. And Arthur, you don't know everything. And you're exactly right. And so therefore, I give you the benefit of the doubt that you can leave my office and stay in your sin. But I know God loves you enough to correct you after you're gone. So I just sit back and I go, maybe they'll be back and maybe they're not. But please don't miss the visitation of God in your life. Please don't miss it. Because things will happen. And then you go, but I didn't know. Well, yeah, you did. You did know. And you asked for help, but you didn't like the answer to get your help. Prayer is that place to get your help. Prayer is a place. In Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, God wants to establish again the tabernacle of David. Understand that the tabernacle of David had been destroyed. And in 2 Samuel, when David was so excited that people were like, oh man, David, he was like, I'm bringing the temple back, the tabernacle. He's got, you know what tabernacle means? It means shack. It means just a shed. It just means what? It's just a shelter where people can pray. That's all tabernacle is. Now later on, they put some bricks and stuff all around it, and they said, you know, we're going to make it upright. But that wasn't David's. David was a tent. Just so you can go in and pray. That's what his was. And so he says, he's excited, man. They're bringing in the ark. They're bringing stuff in. And so they're marching. That, do you understand? He knows he's going to be king when he's running away from Saul. He knows he's going to be king. So he knows what he's going to do. And so if you know you're going to be king and you know you're going to know what you're going to do, you know what's going to happen, you have some time to think about how this is going to work. This is going to be how it's going to be. This is going to be a parade. There's going to be elephants, camels, monkeys, whatever. There's going to be something big. And man, I'm going to have my royal robes ready to put on. This is going to be nice. But no, and not David. David comes out in an ephod, linen, underwear, and starts dancing before the Lord with all his might. And people make fun of him, mainly his relatives. And they go, what are you doing? And he said, hey, emergency, emergency. And so he comes out and he says, and he's dancing. And understand, he had an ephod on. David shouldn't have even had the ephod on. David wasn't a priest. But he said, I am today. I'm coming into the presence of God. And I'm going to do what I need to do to sanctify, consecrate this tabernacle for God. So he comes in. They come in. And so now it's time to do what they're supposed to do. Let's go ahead and go to Amos 9, 11 through 15. In that day will I rise up in the tabernacle of David, the fallen hut or booth, and close up its breaches. And I will rise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that are called by my name, says the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the trader of grapes, him who sows the seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessing, and I will bring back the exiles of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine from them, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be torn out of their land which I gave them, says the Lord your God. What is he saying here? What prophetic word is this? He's talking about the restoration of the temple of David, which is what? Us. When Jesus comes, he's going to restore the temple of David. And that temple of David is that to be in us. We are that tabernacle. We are that tabernacle. We are those people that there is a flame in us to be people who pray. We are restored unto Lord God to continue what God wants to do in the land. It has been recovered through Jesus Christ. And when we have come to know that when Jesus recovered it, he restored it in us. And so therefore, what? Well, all of the promises are yes and amen through Jesus Christ in us. And we speak what? The amen. So be it. Every part of this, every part of this is that we are to go forth. What was it that we are supposed to do? We are supposed to be more than conquerors. We are supposed to be overcomers. We are supposed to actually defeat the works of the devil. We are supposed to not live in fear. We are supposed to do every promise that Jesus brought forth in the Word of God, and supposed to live out what God says we are to live out. We cannot be ignorant of the Word of God. We are to be showing what the Word of God says. Not only speaking, which is but a big part of it, but showing what the Word of God says. Speaking, showing, doing, but more than anything, being transformed by the renewing of our minds to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like until He returns again. We are the restoration of the tabernacle of David so that we may what? Pray, 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 pray. What happened to the temple of David? You know, it was just a tent after this big hoopla, after this big parade, after everything went well, after everything it was so well done. Well, like everything that man touches, there was a formation of God, then there was a crystallization of God, and they put brick and mortar up, and then they said, well, we're going to start doing things as usual. And even though the presence of God was not in the temple anymore or in the tabernacle anymore, they kept doing what they used to do. There's nothing sadder than a church continuing in the way that it goes without the presence of God. Oh God, don't ever let it get in this place. I'm telling you right now. Moses said it. Moses says, if you don't go with us, just kill us now. You've got to be with us. If we're going to go up, if we're going to go do this thing, you have to be with us. If we're not with us, don't send us. I'm not going. There's nothing more pathetic than a church not having the presence of God still operating as if they are. It truly is an abomination. And I feel sorry for the pastor that doesn't recognize it. And I feel sorry for the people that are following them down a path that there is no life. They walk out the front doors and go, "Oh, it wasn't that good." And don't realize that they ate of the fruit of good and evil and had no life to it. Don't ever recognize it. Understand that. I don't ever want you to settle for words of good. That was really good. Don't settle for that. Don't settle that for me or Jimmy. Don't ever do that. Say, "Give me life." Require it from God. Say, "God, I need more than just a good word. I need life-giving word. I need the water of the word. I need the substance of the word of God. I need something to get me through the day. I need the substance to get me through the week. I just don't need good." I talked to a guy this week, and he said, "I just want to get back to the good old days." I said, "What are the good old days?" "You know, back in the 40s and the 50s where people didn't get divorced." I said, "They got divorced back then." I said, "But I want to tell you something." I said, "My grandfather beat my grandmother. They never got divorced, but they were married for 50 years. And she had to endure that for 50 years. They had 12 children. And they had to surround her so she wouldn't be beat. Good old days. But didn't have Jesus. You can't tell me that that life was good. It wasn't good without Jesus. There's got to be a transformation. The only good days are with Jesus. Don't go for nostalgia. Go for God in your life. Don't do it. There was no presence. For 500 years, there wasn't. God didn't show up from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus walks into Jerusalem on a donkey. Oh, man, they were surprised, weren't they? Jesus, the Messiah. They thought he was going to be a military hero. They thought he was going to be something totally different than what he actually came. And Jesus comes to set things right. He tells him in Luke 19:46, he says, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer.'" My house. This house, this individual should be a house of prayer. This house should be a house of prayer. We should be in constant contact with the Lord. Why? Because there's things to say and there's things to receive in God. God wants to tell you stuff. Big secrets. There's some big secrets God wants to lay on you. He wants to tell you what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. God wants to unfold things in your life. Remember when, in the resurrection story, when Jesus rose from the dead, the rock was rolled away and there was an earthquake and the curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. Remember that? Y'all know the story? And all of a sudden, they're going, "Oh my gosh, look. Somebody tore up the temple." Well, what did they do? What did they do with the temple? Well, somebody went in and sewed up the curtain. We still had the Holy of Holies. They still had the Holy. They still had, you know, the laven, they still had everything. They still had the animals. They still sacrificed. They still went on with business as usual. Why? Because that's what you do. And they did not acknowledge Jesus had hung on the cross and He was resurrected. Is that what we will do when we come to the place when we acknowledge the Lord, when God says we want to do something, God has something for us to do, we can't go on with business as usual. I would be the first to raise my hand to say, "I get so bored in prayer." I do. There are people who are Chihuahuas. And there are people who are Saint Bernards. I'm a Saint Bernard. I just chill. But, you know, so it's tough to hold your attention for so long. But a lot of it is trying to get in the presence of God. And so therefore, I gotta work at it. I gotta work at it. If it takes me 5 minutes, then it takes me 5 minutes. If it takes me 30 minutes, then it takes me 30 minutes. I have to do it daily. And I have to know when He says, "It's okay, you can go." And I have to be able to have that discipline to be able to do what He says do. Whenever God sets out to do a new thing, He always sets His people to be praying. I believe God wants to do a major thing in this city. I've been here since January of 1992. It's a long time. And I've seen things come and I've seen things go. I like what Jimmy says. "If we don't get it right this time, I'm going to be mad." Well, me too. This is our watch. This is why I'm here. This is why we stay here. If not, let's go fishing. Let's go do something else. You know? This is work. I don't want to have to continue in the same way. Stupid illustration. Okay, I won't use it. There is a pattern. The pattern of God. God wants to do. When you get the presence in the church, you get the kingdom in the city. When we get the presence in this place here, when we call Him in, when we pray Him in, when we look to God in the presence of the Lord, when we come in those doors ready for God, for His presence, then we're going to get the kingdom of God out there. When we know that the presence of God is precious, then I believe God is going to break forth. Why? Well, it's not going to be a busing program. It's not going to be an evangelistic program. It's not going to be a project. It's not going to be those things. It's going to be Jesus. Fruitfulness is the collateral damage of intimacy. Fruitfulness is the collateral damage of intimacy. The great temptation is to reverse the order. We want to be busy ourselves about projects, and when we become spiritually exhausted, I encounter this all the time in people. I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. And I go, then what are you doing that's not God? Well, everything I'm doing is God. No, that's not true. What are you doing that's not God? Because I have some intentioned kingdom project that has taken first place in my life. Because we think everything that we do is so important. My relationship with Jesus has become a social justice project, an inner healing project, a self-discovery project, an anti-anxiety project. It's a really, really well-intentioned project. This is going to work. It's going to work in me. This relationship. I need Jesus to fix me. I need Jesus to do this for me. I need Jesus for this intention project. And I love my kids. I really do. I love them. I love them to death. I think they're great. But I didn't marry my wife as a child rearing strategy. I said, I'm going to marry me a woman so I can get me kids. I didn't do that. You know? I said, I need one. If I'm going to have kids, I'm going to need me a woman. That's how it works. I married her because I loved her. And I wanted to be with her. And I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And children was a natural outpouring an expression of that love. See, that's what the intimacy here in this place with Jesus should be. A natural outpouring of our love for Him and His presence. We come to give Him love and adoration, and He's coming to show us Him and that intimacy. And what do we leave this place? See your hand. You know, Sunday, we had this great, awesome service. Jesus showed up. It was wonderful. Man, you should have seen. He showed up, and we just loved on Him. It was cool. Man, this is what I felt when He showed up with me. It was great. And usually that person says, well, I'd like some of that. Where do you go to church now? Everybody knows where you go to church. Where do you go to church now? The natural outpouring of her love and affection for Jesus is just, it's going to show, right? And people are going to gravitate toward that. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that that's what you need to do. I'm just saying if we love Jesus in this place with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with everything that we have, we have no choice but to bear fruit. We're going to bear something fruit. Why? Because we have been with Jesus. Acts tells us when they looked at the disciples, they said, they've been with Jesus. How do you know? I can tell. They got a glow about them. They've been with God. They were with Jesus. They recognized that they had been with Jesus in Acts 4:13. Isn't that be cool? You just enter a room and all of a sudden, they've been with Jesus. Intimacy bears fruit, but it doesn't work the other way around. Doesn't. We got showed up with three kids. Where'd you get those kids? They just showed up at my house. You don't got a wife? No, that comes later. Well, if I were you, I'd get one quick. No, it doesn't work the other way around. Intimacy bears children. What is it? What's the takeaway here? No. When I was writing this stuff down, I was thinking about the heroes of the Bible. I was thinking about Moses. I was thinking about Noah. I was thinking about all the people, David, I was thinking about David. I was thinking about all the people that God used and what they did and the great things that they did. And I said, God, I identify more with their mistakes than I do with their heroic acts. I'm just being honest. If I would tell you what Moses and what I identify with, I tell you, more about what he did wrong than what he did right. He tell you about Noah and what he did wrong than what he did right. I tell you how God rescued him from his mistakes. So I'm telling you right now, in 1992 to 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of all that's going on in this place, we need God more than ever. And you know what? Tomorrow we're going to need God even more. You know that? It's not going to get like we're not getting to a place where we don't desperately need God. We desperately need God. It's going to be where we need God more. I just want to be the place of resource where we need God and we can furnish it for them. We have God here. Take of the abundance of God from this place. Take from any one of these people because they've been with Jesus and you can pray for them. And when they leave your presence, they felt like they've been with Jesus. Are you Jesus? No. But you had enough Jesus to give them. So, what should we do? Well, repent is one. I think we should always be ready to repent. Always ask for forgiveness. Always say, you know, God, every time that you enlighten us, every time that you show us something, we need to say, I'm sorry. I take what you've shown me and I say, I now want to be what you want me to be. Take out all the obstacles that aren't you. And now I want to be what you want me to be. Secondly, I feel like I have visited this place before. I have been here before. And I'm going, it doesn't matter how many times I've visited here before. I'll do it 70 times 7. It doesn't matter. However much you want me to come to the throne of God and ask for you to visit us and your presence, I'll do it. I will do it. Because it is imperative that you go with us. We go to the mountain with you. And we do your bidding for however long, for however much you want. It's your place. You bought the place. I'm just a servant in it. That's it. You bought it. So, however you feel, if you're in on the plan, consider this. David has just been anointed and given the crown. He's king. Okay? He's king. He's got armies, enemies, camps all around the border. Am I out? Okay. He's got enemies all around the border getting ready to attack. And it seems like in his first 100 days as king, he would be getting all of his generals together and saying, this is what we need to do. All presidents do that, don't they? First 100 days in office, this is what we got to do. But not David. He says, you know what we're going to do first? We're going to establish prayer. That's my military strategy for the tribe of Israel. That's what we're going to do. You know what our strategy is? Prayer. That's what it is. We're going to pray in God's presence. Because if we don't have that, nothing else we plan is going to work. So we pray in God and rely on Him and believe Him and all that He says and all that He does and all that we lean on His understanding and not our own. So this is something that I want to do. If you feel like you would like a key to come up and pray on the altar at any given time, you feel like, I'd like to go up and pray at night, or you come to me, I'll get you a copy of the key to this front door. Understand, now, this is a warning, okay? Tom was up here at 12 o'clock at night. He was cleaning up, and he was in the back, and some cops came and had their guns pulled, and they said, hey, are you supposed to be here? Yes, sir, I'm supposed to be here. So I just want you to know they are policing the place, which I'm glad of. I'm glad that they're policing the place. But if you go in, lock the door, okay? Come in here, lock the door. Because Tom, he just happened to leave it open this one time. But if you want to pray here, come in and pray. And we want to make it as easy for you to do that. If you need any type of, there's a book called Prayers That Avail Much. If you need one of those, I can show you how to get one of those. But so right now, I want to pray, and I want you to pray. It doesn't matter that I'm leading prayer. You can pray out loud too. And you can fill this house with a voice of prayer. Jimmy, did you have something to say or before we pray?
Yeah.
Okay.
That story of the Tabernacle of David is one of my favorite things about David understanding God. He was like the New Testament guy in the Old Testament. I mean, he just had that relationship. And the story that always grips me about how he approached God is when Nathan went to him, God spoke to Nathan and said, go tell David, basically, you're not going to build me a brick and mortar tabernacle or temple. Your son will, but you won't. And David's response was this. He went out, I'm going to kind of paraphrase this a little bit. He went out in the backyard, went to the tent that he had set up for God. That's really basically what it was. He went out there, and it says in 2 Samuel 7:18, King David went in, sat before the Lord, and said, "Who am I, O Lord? And what is my family that you should have brought me to this point?" What really speaks to me about that is he went in and sat down and spoke to God. That wasn't the normal thing, by the way, back then. He wasn't a priest, like he said. But he understood the relationship that God allowed. And God has provided us that way.
Amen. Amen.
By the blood of Christ, that we can go in and sit down and speak to God. Just like David did. He understood it far before we had the opportunity. But that's where we are now. And he, in that prayer, proclaimed all the good things God had done for him and this promise he made for his future family. All the things that Nathan had revealed by the word of God. And so I just wanted to add that before we prayed, let's go in and sit before God and speak to him.
So our approach to prayer is humility. So if you want to get up and walk around, if you want to kneel at your pew, do not be confined by the social norm. Okay? And so understand whatever it takes, because that's what we're going to do. Whatever it takes to get to God. That's what we're going to do. So know, God is our objective. God is what we're searching for. God is what we want to reach. And so, not that he makes it hard. Not that he's being elusive. But I know God wants us here. And so, I will not miss our opportunity to come face to face with our God. And what are the benefits? It's God! It's God! Oh my. What a prize. What a prize. So Father, we just come to you believing, Father, that the Word is so true, that you desire an audience with your people, that your people want to come to you to love you, to share their hearts with you, God, and so desire to have your heart to be shared with them. So Father, we ask right now, Father, we step out in faith, believing that your word is real, it's tangible, that your presence is so tangible. Father, I don't profess to know everything. I don't profess to know how to even walk in this. I just know if I take a step toward you, you'll take a step toward me. I just know if I draw near to you, you'll draw near to me. If I make an attempt to do what you desire, God, I believe you'll take me the rest of the way. So, Father, let us love you. Let us come into your presence, God. Let us enjoy who you are. Enjoy the many characteristics of a loving, faithful God. Let us so worship a Father who so truly loves his children. So God, I pray for your presence in this place. I pray that it will be done every week. I pray, Father, as people walk into this place, whether it be daily, whether it be weekly, whatever, God, when people come in to pick up the mantle of prayer, God, that the presence would just automatically shine in, and that, Father, your kingdom would be established in this city. We seek your face. We so seek you, O God, without reservation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I feel like there are seeds, prophetic seeds that were birthed just now. If anyone has something to say, do you have something that maybe sprung up? Yes? No? Maybe wait a while? Angela? Nothing? No? Okay. Well, okay. Y'all have a good week.